Thank you very much for your wonderful presence also. You also carry a wonderful atmosphere into this otherwise quite mechanic thing, the computer. It has been my great pleasure, actually, as I went with all of you on this journey to see that also my own understanding of these processes has grown, because in bhakti we grow together. Krishna personally is very satisfied when he sees devotees, friends, those who seek, coming together and talking about him. He becomes present in such an association. And I have seen, even if you do this in an online situation, there is definitely a very palpable realization of Krishna's presence. Sometimes quite surprising that I look into my mobile telephone, and usually there are many WhatsApp messages, but now there is a session on the five most essential practices in bhakti, which bring us quickly into the presence of God. And then from this little machine, such a wonderful atmosphere emanates that our human reason fails to understand what is happening here. What is happening is very simple. The Krishna becomes manifest when his people meet in this world and sincerely explore a bhakti. I would like to immediately introduce the last session which we have together. And then at the end, give you again tips how you can practically apply it in your life and give you also a meditative experience of this. So let me just say the pranam mantras and then we will start. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyare Shatarine Jayatam Surato Pangor Mama Mande Mategati Matsarvasva Padam Bojo Shishiradha Madana Mohano. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivashadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My dear devotees, my dear friends, and dear skeptics as well, you are very much welcome to participate in this session of Murti Seva, serving the Lord's form in this world. Rupa Goswami says, Radha Visheshata Priti Sri Murtiya Angri Sevane. With faith and full of love, one should worship the lotus feet of the deity. In my session today, I would like to install some first-class faith in your heart and also bring you to the level where you do your service or worship to Krishna in a loving attitude. Krishna cannot be seen with these eyes. He is of a spiritual category. Atha Shri Krishna Namadi, says Rupa Goswami. Navavet grayam indriyaye. These senses cannot grasp Krishna. We are so fortunate today to be in the forest of Vrindavan, and Krishna is right there. But still, although we can see the painting before us, if you would really see Krishna, you would faint and not rise again. It's a totally overwhelming experience, overwhelming with love, which our senses are not able to grasp. Just like you cannot grasp 1,000 volts, if you grab this with your hands, you turn into ashes. You have such a strong current. We cannot with these eyes see the Lord. In Vrindavan, they have one forest where it is said that Krishna up to this day engages in loving pastimes. But you are only allowed to come early in the morning for the first arati. No one, not even the monkeys, are allowed to stay in this forest. Even the monkeys, who are so notoriously naughty, leave this forest at the night time. Those who have stayed, some very bold sadhus, had to be carried out of this forest either dead or permanently maddened. Krishna cannot be grasped with these material senses. So, therefore, because he is very mercifully disposed, he takes on a form by which we can see his Svarupa, his original form. And that is the Acha Avatar, the form as a deity. There are altogether five forms of Krishna, five. Svarupa, that is his own original spiritual form. Then his expansions like Baladev, the Chaturvyuha expansions, you know, Sankarshan, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. Then he comes as avatars, Narsingha, Rama. Then Lord Krishna, who is even so merciful that he feels, okay, I've come as avatars, but not so many people have seen me. He comes as the Paramatma, the Super Soul, right into each of our hearts. And the fifth form which the Lord, in his mercy to be present with us, takes is the Acha Avatar. Prabhupada in the third canto says that Acha, the Archa, not Acha, Archa, refers to the form which we can worship in our present condition. That is, with the material body, material senses, material mind, we can come close to this Acha Vigraha and look at him. However, my dear devotees, when you approach the deity on the altar, there is a principle which is quite surprising. it's not so important that you see with the eyes. In Acha, in approaching the deity form on the altar, it's much more important that the Lord sees you. When the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada, was once viewing the deities in his Gaudiya Math temple in Mayapur, he was approached by one young devotee. This deities, their names is Sri Kandavika Giridhari, are standing on the altar, and you can see them only by looking through a narrow tunnel. Maybe I should show you from here. Let us say where this hand is. That's where you come. And you stand. And here where this right hand is the deity. So that somehow by the construction of this temple, there is a very narrow corridor between the place where the pilgrims stand to view the deity and the deity himself. Very narrow corridor, and you really have to stretch your vision to see him. So this disciple came to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati and said, it's very difficult to see the deity in this arrangement. And he said, we never can see the deity. The point is that he sees us. How can we see with these eyes, which are made of earth, water, a little fire, etc., a form which is entirely spiritual? Can you see time? No, we cannot see time. When you look at the wristwatch, that's not time which you see. That's a mechanic clockwork which gives some indication of time. The time itself as a force, you cannot see with the eyes. You can experience however, the time in the passing years, and you get a little gray hair here. So you do see the effects of time, but the force in itself, which is a representation of God, and cannot be seen with material eyes. However, if Krishna sees you, you can feel it. There are four things which happens when you come to the temple, stand before the deity, say a prayer, that you can actually perceive. It is described in our scriptures that the Lord has four qualities by which he communicates with us. Solabhya, first of all, he is visible to the human eye. We can go there and see, oh yes, Krishna. Shoshilya is the second. Anyone who approaches him with an open heart, doesn't close the heart, is given a gift by the Lord, a feeling of acceptance. We feel accepted just the way we are. Just the way we are. Who accepts us the way we are? Oh, well, if we hide and put on a gentleman face, the world will accept us. But when we are, the moment they find out what specialities we have in our personalities, oh, only very close people accept. So Krishna accepts us. This is called Shoshilya, and he gives us the feeling of confidence. Have you seen this? When you come before the deity and you have a darshan, you feel, oh, it's all right. I can go on. I can move on. I can do this. Somehow I can tolerate it. The next is, he gives a feeling, it's called Swamitva. He hears our desires and he very often fulfills these desires. There may be some desires he doesn't fulfill, and often these are the desires which are harmful for us. I like Mother Teresa, who said, more tears are shed in this world for prayers that were answered than for prayers that went unanswered. Because we are sometimes not so enlightened and we pray for things which entangle us more in consequences which are not good. But yes, the deity fulfills desire. So this is called Swamitva. And finally, the deity grants his protection. It's called Vatsalya. Vatsalya. He gives the protection. When there is trouble, my dear listeners, my dear viewers, you must go before the deity. You simply sit down. And as I always like to say, you have a talk with God. You sit there, do some devotional activity, like chanting, or just praying, or just trying to shut off the constant chatter of the endless stream of thoughts, and just admire the deity, gaze at the deity to your full satisfaction. You cannot really gaze at anyone else. When others see you gazing at them, they become uncomfortable and they may let you know. But you can gaze at Krishna for hours and he will not only accept this, he will give you his transcendental gifts which happen in the deity darshan. There's a very, very interesting example of someone who looked at the deity. His name is Dhanudhara. He was a wrestler, able-bodied wrestler, who was married to one, how do you call these, a society girl called Himamba. And he had only eyes for Himamba. Once they made a holiday in Sri Rangam, and there was a huge procession happening. The deity of Sri Ranga was out on a Ratha Yatra cart and went through the town, and there were musicians, dancers, brahmanas who chanted, and there was this Danuda who was going backwards on the street, coming towards the procession and going into the procession, but his eyes were fixed not on the deity, but on Himamba, who had an umbrella to give her shade over her head. And Danuda was, the wrestler, was waving a chamara to give this girl a cooling breeze. So the great devotee Ramanuja asked Danuda, the wrestler, why are you doing this? There's the deity. The whole town is focused on glorifying the deity, and you don't even spare a glance, not even a quick glance towards the deity. You are gazing at this human being. Why? And Danuda said, because she is the most beautiful personality I've ever seen. Ramanuja answered, what would happen if I could show you a more beautiful personality? Dhanuddha, the wrestler, was an honest man, and he said, most probably I would fall in love with that person, and if I would be able to establish a relationship, I would stay with the person. Good, said Ramanuja. Come tomorrow at 7 o'clock to the temple of Ranganath. I will show you the most beautiful personality. And when the next day arrived and the time arrived, Dhanuddha, the wrestler, was there. Ramanuja took him inside. It was a long path. Those who have been in this temple know you have to walk quite some distance through many halls and through many gopurams. But finally they arrived at the altar. And at that moment, there was a priest who just offered an aratik. The light of the aratik fell into the eyes of the beautiful Archavigraha, the form of the Lord. And Dhanuddha had an overwhelming realization of Krishna in his heart. He later commented, he said, as soon as the light fell on the eyes of Ranganath, Dhanuddha saw that the lotus eyes started to glow and were lighting up the inner cave of his heart. He felt that ignorance and the wrong identification, all the darkness went. Like the stars of the night disappear when the sun rises, his material desires and his lust disappeared completely. And he expressed to Ramanuja, you have revealed to me joys that are not even accessible to the demigods in the heavens. Like a night owl, I had turned away from the sun and fell in love with a glowworm. Glowworm. You, however, turned my vision to the Lord. Please now accept me as your servant. My dear listeners, this precisely can happen to all of us when we stand before the deity in a submissive way. The form of the Lord, which is worshipped of the altar, will look at us and shower these four qualities over us. He will accept us as we are. He will instill confidence into us and a conviction, a deep conviction and inner strength. And he will grant us also his merciful protection. Those of us who have worshipped deities, who have grown up with these Archavigraha, these forms of the Lord, where he appears in materials like marble or iron or wood or even a painting like this, or as we will very soon practice, where he appears in our mind as a mentally conceived image. These forms are very powerful. They are imbued with Krishna Shakti, so that Krishna can become visible. He understands we cannot see the spirit yet. We cannot see even our soul, our own personality. So he appears in a visible form out of his mercy. But you must understand that he is never, ever confined to the form of the deity. Never. Srila Prabhupada has given various analogies of the deity. He has said, given for instance, a functional comparison. He said, when we approach a bona fide mailbox, we can place our letter inside and know it will reach the person who is there on the envelope, their right address. You can't do this with any box which you see on the street. You have to go to the authorized mailbox. In the same way, anything which is done to the deity, any service which is done to the deity, will reach Krishna. But just like the postal office cannot be limited to the box, you know, the postal box, in the same way, Krishna can never be limited to only one, to the deity. I was saying that when you approach the deity, you should render service. I would like to introduce to you, before I tell you what you can do, three visions which you can do to see the deities. It's just like, you know, I have two glasses. This is for clothes, things like text. I can see without glasses things, but this is for clothes. And then I have a special darshan glass. I only use it for darshan because that's a long distance glass, spectacles, and I can see with the long distance spectacles. I'm just looking if I have it. I don't have it here. I can see the deities very, very clearly. I don't use these spectacles for other things because I'm now elderly. I'm interested in Krishna. I'm not so interested in the world and what is in the distance. If there's need, the world will tell me we are here. But these are just my darshan glasses for Krishna. These are reading glasses. So you can have three types of glasses to see the deities. One is not working. That is or two are not working. One is when you see the deity is made of matter. Sometimes people ask us, what is the deity made of? And my answer is always, he has a body full of bliss, knowledge, and eternity. It's never matter. The postal office is never the postal box, but it is also the postal box. So if you see the Lord as a material form, you will not see the Lord. You will just see an object of the eyes. The second is how the intellectuals look at the deities. They think it is a symbolic representation of Krishna, but it is not Krishna. Almost like, I do not know how it is in America, I have forgotten, but here in Germany we have postal cars who deliver the packages and letters to the homes. And on the postal card is a sign by which you can see him, see that this is the post. It's a postal horn. So when you see the postal horn, this would be a symbol for the post. It's not the post, but it's a symbol. It points towards it. It hints towards it. So in the same way, the second way of seeing the deity, we could call it the intellectual way, is that you think, yes, this is a form. It hints at God, but it is not God. Also wrong. To think it is this form is made of marble or iron, wrong. You cannot see. To see it's a symbolic representation, it's also wrong. These are the perceptions with the body, the bodily eyes and the mind. How you see it, how to see the deity. This is Krishna. The Lord whom I'm worshipping is now there before my eyes. And when the Lord is seen like this, you see him really. We just celebrated a very limited Jamashtami because we have, like all over the world, restrictions due to the COVID-19 situation. So there were restricted guests, but our community came together and so on. And I was also celebrating Krishna's appearance day with the community in Goloka Dham, and was invited to do the midnight aarti. Krishna appears at 12 o'clock in Mad. And I was allowed to do this. But I must say, I was exhausted. I had talked the whole day, given many presentations here and there. There was something which had unsettled me a little bit. I had to take a very heavy medicine, which unsettles the mind a little. And I was a little downcast when I came on the altar. And I was performing my aarti, and I prayed. I said, this is the night of your appearance. I don't want to be in a downcast mentality. Can you please communicate with me? Can you please show that you are there? Can you please be kind to me? So after having said this prayer, I continued in my downcast way. Then I took the lamp, took it out of the altar to the congregation who was worshiping from outside so that they could touch the light of the sacred lamp, and went back to after I had turned around to the altar and all, and picked up the other, I think it was the water in the conch shell, and I turned to Madan Mohan, Krishna. All of a sudden, I see he doesn't look the same way. He's a total different person. I look away. Maybe I'm wishful thinking. I look again. My dear audience, the deity smiled. But it was not the smile as we know. No, it was a total different smile. It was a smile that exploded into laughter. Like, like this. I can't do it naturally because it's a forced thing to do. But it was something like this. And it was a powerful statement. Why are you in your mental world and suffering? Get out of there. This is the wrong program. So I switched the program around immediately and went into a prayerful mood. And the deity had spoken to me, given me a sign, and I felt very energized, really, and could do my services very, very, very energized. I didn't even want to go to bed afterwards because I was just so electrified with the Lord's presence. So, yes, he is Krishna. Krishna is real, more real than you. And he can communicate through the deity in whatever way. He especially communicates to a devotee who engages in services. And I would like to give you now a list of services that you could do to the deities, because Krishna has this law of reciprocity. This is too difficult a word for me. He reciprocates with the worshipper. In whatever way the worshipper approaches him, the Lord reveals himself accordingly. So, I see different devotees. It's so pleasurable to see. So now I will give you things that you could do. If you have a piece of paper and a pen in your possession, this is a good time to use your valuable possession nicely. One thing you can do for the when you come before the deity, you can sing for him and dance full of joy. This is very, very relieving. Every one of us should dance more. Dance full of joy and sing before the deity. The second thing is you can confidentially reveal yourself to the deity. Reveal your mind. Have a talk with God. Bring it out to him. Say it to him. And the third is you can offer your obeisances. You can take your physical body and engage with it just like you did when you danced and sang. You can totally, with Krishna's mercy, totally engage in paying your obeisances. And in the little meditation, which we will do in a short while, I will do this with you. Prayer and obeisances, these two things go together very, very well. Very, very well combination. You physically bow down, and as you bow down, your heart raises over your head. You know, you touch with your head the ground, and in this position, in the kneeling down position, your heart very nicely, as if it enters the lift of the Empire State Building, is elevated and moves up. Obeisances are wonderful. And you can pray a wonderful prayer, which is my personal favorite. We will put it in the chat box. I have written it down in my notes. I should tell it to you, this prayer. Yes, Krishna Tomahana, Jadi Bale Ekaba, my... Now, I will sing it. Let's sing it. Krishna Tomahana, Jadi Bale Ekabara, Maya Banda Hoite Krishna, Dare Kare Para. One is immediately free from the clutches of Maya if he sincerely and seriously says, now comes the prayer, my dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today, I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please accept me. Please accept me. It's such a powerful turnaround, spinning wheel. Just this prayer takes you from the entanglement of the material world and turns you around to Krishna. I think our Yashoda Dulal will inform you. It is in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 22, text 33. So Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 33. Now you will soon see it coming up in the chat box. So this can be done when you pay your obeisances. There are many other things I could now list that you could do. If you want to find out more what you can do, read please in the ancient work Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila chapter 22. There's a long, long list of things you can do. But if I say this all now, you will suffer from an information overload, and that's not my purpose here. I want to just bring you to only one thing, that is the value of obeisances. First of all, the Padma Purana tells us what happens if we just bow down to the Lord and say a prayer. It says, the false ego is negated, it's eliminated by this process of bowing down. He says, Padma Purana says, when you bow down, you say, Na Maha. Na means no, not. And Maha means the ego. Not my will happen, your will should happen. Namaha, 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 Namaha. Not my ego. I'm tired of this great story maker who misses the reality all the time. Namaha. No? The verse from the Padma Purana says the syllable ma indicates false ego, which is negated by the syllable na, no false ego. Thus, by offering obeisances, one gives up his independence as the possessor of this material body. My dear devotees, some of us don't like to bow down any longer. But Prabhupada says, bow down. You will be forced to bow down anyways. Now find the place where bowing down will make you happy. That's Krishna. That is so good. You will be forced to bow down to your job, to this new situation in the world. You will be bowed down to your digestion problems, which bring you to the bathroom where you have the most embarrassing sounds coming out of you. You will be forced to bow down in various ways. Now find the place where bowing down makes you happy. How nice, he said. That's Krishna. So, I would now take the few last minutes which we have in an exercise where we will mentally bow down to Krishna and offer our obeisances. Please join me. This will be the last exercise. It is a very powerful exercise. It is taken from our scriptures. So again, I request you, please stop the American specialty that is multifunctioning. please put your bag of chips away. To the left side or right side as you wish, and let us connect. I assume that you have a comfortable sitting place. If not, please find now. Sit spine upright, tall, look around in the room, because soon I will request you to close the eyes. Don't become disturbed by the eventual mess in your room. No, you don't judge. You just perceive and slowly withdraw from perceiving, from seeing. And you're ready. Close your eyes. Deepen your breath now. Long conscious inhales and long conscious exhales. When you breathe in, stay with your breath, meaning remain conscious or aware of the ingoing air. And whenever you breathe out, stay with your outgoing breath. We will do this for a few seconds now alone. When you exhale, relax even more. And you inhale, inhale into your heart space, and inhale joy. Good. Now go into the heart space and become aware of your true self. By my nature, I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. But I have learned to identify myself with my body. And as a result, I roam through this world, accepting one birth and one death, and one birth and one death in an endless cycle. And I encounter so-called pleasures and so-called miseries. However, by some inconceivable mercy, I have learned that I am an eternal servant of Krishna, different from my gross and subtle body. I'm so fortunate to be able to serve and follow the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna. We are now ready for our meditation on the next level. Internally visualize the full moon. Go on the moon rays into the moon and come out into an atmosphere of unlimited light and energy. Move even through this atmosphere until you are able to see Vrindavan, the place of Krishna's appearance, coming out of the light like you would see a city arising out of the fog. In your mind's eye, discover a beautiful garden. In the garden, you see a temple. The temple is decorated with jewels. Move through the temple portal. Move towards the altar, the sacred center. See Sri Sri Radha Krishna on the altar. Take fragrant petals of roses and offer them before the divine couple. Then bow down. Let your head touch the ground and say your prayer. Please do not forget to pray now. Good. It's time to say goodbye. Time to end the meditation. Respectfully move out of the temple. The doors of the temple close. Turn around. Go through that light and energy, which is like a mist or a fog. Return to the moon. Slowly arrive in the room awareness. You can rub your hands a little. Place them on your eyes as if palming them. And slowly move them from your eyes, opening your eyes and looking into the palms, seeing the lines in your hands as if you see them for the first time. Good. You can approach the deity in the temple by going and doing the many things which we will also post for you in that we have this deepening bhakti on my Facebook, and you can find some hints what else you can do. My dear listeners, this is a very, very powerful way. When you come to the deities, best is to not come empty-handed. Bring at least some fruits. I've seen in India, the simple farmers, they bring their produce from the field, cabbage, cauliflower, tomatoes I saw, guavas, mangoes. You're in New York, you can bring a good banana from Ecuador. There's, I think, good trade between the countries. And in this way, don't come empty-handed. Or put even a little something into the hundi box, the donation box, something. Not empty-handed, full-handed and full-hearted. Good. I will end whatever I had to say. We are on time. I can't believe it. This is not normal for us. We sometimes went over time and didn't even care. Today I request you to see if you have any final questions which you can send to Yashoda Dulal via your chat box, and Yashoda Dulal will then tell them to me, and I will try to answer as concise as I possible can. Hari Prasad, I'm seeing you now. Just now I have started to see you. Yes. Yes, please.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much. That was a wonderful meditation and a wonderful session. Our first question comes from your disciple in Chicago, Hari Shyam Prabhu. Hari Shyam Prabhu, can you go ahead and ask, please? Next is Isha Ahuja.
Thank you, Krishna Maharaj.
Wow, Hari Shyam, I feel most happy to see your smiling face. I was thinking so much about you, and we will have to chat on the telephone afterwards. But now, tell your question, please.
Thank you very much. How do we understand the experience of finding a special connection through particular deities? Because we know that all the deities of Krishna are Satchit Ananda, yet we find sometimes a special reciprocation from some deities. Why does this happen? What does it mean? And is this a product of my mind?
And is this
a product of my own mind?
Yes. I thank you. The question is very clear, and I think everyone has heard very nicely. Why do we feel a special attraction to a special deity. You are true. It could be because we make the deity part of our own story. I remember in Germany we were quite immature as a yatra, and we divided the devotees into the strong devotees, they were called the Nrisimha Bhaktas, and then the soft-hearted devotees, they were called the Govinda Bhaktas. So the strong men with strong masculine hormones and strong masculine expression, they were Nrisimha Bhakta, because Nrisimha is very ferocious. And the soft-spoken ones were Govinda Bhaktas. I was divided in the Govinda Bhakta category. Then we find out, ooh, this is not right. We make the deity into almost like a figurehead of a motorcycle club. We make him part of our story. This is our, you know, egos. This is not the way to go about. And there's a material perception of the deity. So yes, certain attractions to certain deities can be tinged with a material misunderstanding. It's called pritak bhava. You are still separated from Krishna because you make him part of your story. You try to import him into your mindset. However, the second way is you try to surrender to him. You try to give up that separate mood from him and become a member of his family. You surrender, you pray to him. And if your attraction is based in that mindset, your particular attraction to a deity can be taken as an indication of your slowly arising spiritual constitution. It can also change as you advance, but you relate according to your slowly rising spiritual constitution. And in this way, a devotee might feel himself, for instance, helplessly attracted to Krishna in Vrindavan, as you see in this most beautiful picture. Let me move a little bit to the side here. Best is I move entirely out of the picture here. And you feel this is, and you want to know more about Radha and Krishna and their very confidential, loving exchange. And Prabhupada writes about this. This particular attraction of a devotee to listening about Krishna or a particular form of Krishna indicates that devotee's eternal spiritual position. But this will only happen when you are willing to surrender and approach the deities in a mood of service. More like saying, your will should happen. Let my will not happen. Or let me decrease and let you and your will increase in my life. Then what happens in that bhakti space is often a revelation or a reciprocation, an answer of Krishna. That happens. Thank you for this wonderful question. Yes, next question, please, Yashoda Dulal.
Yes, thank you, Maharaj. So the next question comes from Diksha Ahuja. Diksha, please go ahead.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Thank you so much for the beautiful meditation, taking us to Radha Shama Sundar. Very, very helpful. Maharaj, I have a question that sometimes we prioritize our japa more than deity worship. So, because archana consumes a lot of time. So, in this practice of our mental working so much, we often think that we do not bring deities to our place. Rather, we worship the laminations because otherwise this will offend the deities. And the other mindset is that I want to serve them, I want to make a relationship, and I want to be very, very personal. I want to render some personal service to the deities. So how to manage these three mindset of prioritizing japa, doing archana, consuming time, and bringing the deities at home?
Yeah. Thank you. Your question is very clear. I will try to answer it briefly. There are Vaishnava lines which prioritize the deity worship at home by everyone. During the initiation, a deity is given to them, and the exact procedure to be done to worship. There are such lines. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, he placed more emphasis on Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing and doing Kirtan. So therefore, in our line, we study the reason why he has placed this emphasis. And then we follow it, and the result, and the result of this is that we often give more importance on Shravanam and Kirtanam, both chanting and hearing more about Krishna. And when it comes to worshipping or seeing the deity, we go to the temple where this is done in an elaborate way by the pujaris on the altar, and we become his, we bow down. That's a very important seva we do. We take part in the temple services. Like, I see you're a young girl, you will string flowers most properly. And in this way, we do everything. Now, if something changes and you feel a very, very strong attraction to worship Krishna, then by all ways, follow that inner calling and try to see how you can accommodate it. I want to make the point, as we go on in our bhakti, we will feel strong callings. And if they repeatedly come over an extended period of time, then we should see how can I follow this calling. I do remember just today I talked to someone was not properly following the calling, and he looked very sad, and he lived on this most beautiful project. And I said, so why are you still looking sad? There must be a calling which you are not yet following. And I was right in my assumption, and we spoke about the calling and made an arrangement how to follow that. And he immediately looked happy and energized in his or her spiritual, in his spiritual life. So following calling is important in bhakti. There are passing thoughts, these are not callings. These are like little clouds in the sky of your mind which come and go. But if there's something repeatedly knocking at the door of your perception, then follow your calling. It's always good. You can speak with devotees about it. But generally, I must tell here something personal, because we have been now together for so long, so we want to hear something personal. See, I personally developed a type of crisis in my spiritual life after 20 years or so, because I could see that I had not yet realized the deep insights which the tradition gives. And I felt I've started to become a monk, but my consciousness has not significantly changed, and I must do something. So I did a great long research, and I discovered the reason why, and developed a greater attraction to Shravanam and Kirtanam, and you know, hearing about Krishna and chanting his holy name, and reserve time in my busy schedule for this. And it was not immediately easy, or there was not an immediate, let us say, ecstatic result, if you so wish. I needed to first push a little bit through the clouds or through the fog, but then I felt great, all of a sudden, great attraction, a calling. And I have followed this calling as good as I can, and I can really say this process absolutely works. That is my answer to your question, but follow your calling.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. So hopefully we can get in three more questions that are queued up. There are many more, but the next three questions. So the first one is from Yadunath Prabhu. Yadunath Prabhu, please go ahead and ask. Then Venkata Bhatta.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Oh, Yadunath ji. Missing you, Yadunath.
Missing you.
You have become older.
No, I don't think so. Yes, indeed.
Please speak.
Thank you very much for such a wonderful series. These sessions have been great, and you have been such a joy. So my wife and I both, so thank you very much for that. My question is, how does Yashoda Dalal Prabhu consistently apply his tilak so perfectly? I have one other question also.
I have also noted that, Yashoda Dalal, we take great encouragement in seeing your tilak. Great encouragement. I'm still also a little baby.
Okay, but relative to deity worship, how do we understand it when there is apparent damage to the material of the deity? Ships, or even worse, sometimes, you know, we've heard stories of an arm breaking off or those types of things. How do we understand that? Your point was so emphatic. We're not seeing a material form. The deity is Krishna.
This is a deep question. Srila Prabhupada, once he addressed it, that when there were religious riots in Calcutta, when he was a young man, some religious fanatics of another religion went into temples and broke, actually, the deities. And he said they were now thinking they had broken God, the Hindu God. That's what they thought. But no, they can never touch the eternal body of bliss and knowledge of Krishna. See, here you need to apply an understanding which you always have to understand to enter into the bhakti. The deity is one with Krishna and different from Krishna. You have heard this many times. You, Yadunath, are one with Krishna. Yes, you are also Krishna. You are his energy. It's called the Tathashta energy. And the Lord is there in the energy. But at the same time, you are also different. spiritual subjects are often expressed in such paradoxical statement. It's paradoxical for us. Either it's one, it's the same, or it's different. Which one is it? It can't be two, according to Aristotelian logic, you know. We think in this binary model. But no, Krishna at once explodes this model and sends it to the moon. We are one with Krishna and different. The deity is one with Krishna and different. Yes, the deity can speak to the devotees. Yes, he can smile. Yes, he can give all these four assurances, you know, limitless and acceptance, installing confidence, fulfilling desires, etc. Yes, yes, yes. The deity does all the things which only the Lord can do, and everyone has experiences. But at the same time, he's not there. He is engaged in pastimes in the eternal domain. I rest my mind in happiness that things have two sides, not just one side, and that only so-called paradoxes can approach a type of understanding. I do remember how once someone entered Srila Prabhupada's room in Mayapur and asked, how does Krishna look exactly? Prabhupada pointed back. There was a beautiful wood carving behind him, and he pointed back, just like I'm pointing. I don't feel very nice to point for a long time with my finger on Krishna. He pointed back and he said, Krishna looks just like this. And when you see him, you will see he looks completely different. I like this very much. You are an intellectual personality. You please think about these ideas, and some good understanding will hopefully come. Thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj. So the next question will be by Venkata Bhatta Prabhu, and we'll probably get one more question in.
I'm not sure, Yashoda, because I wanted to also speak two more minutes as the teacher who wants to now see that his students fly and excel and do wonderful. So you need to give me a few minutes for that. So our Venkata will be the last one. Please speak, Venkata Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Thank you so much. Maharaj, sometimes in deity worship, it seems that certain areas of technical expertise become very much stressed. So dressing the deities very nicely according to our sense of aesthetics, or flowers, expertise in floral arrangement or elaborate rituals. And it seems like sometimes these can be stressed so much that we get these notions of being good at deity worship or being not so good at deity worship. So how can we make sure that this aspect doesn't overshadow the personal relationship with Krishna from the heart when it comes to deity worship?
Yeah. Thank you for this well-considered question. This is could happen in all processes of devotional service, chanting, doing kirtan, doing other forms of or studying the scriptures and becoming really learned, and then losing the whole heart of the whole matter. That happens again and again for those who are newly on the path. It comes out of this paradigm that what I see with my eyes, that is the ultimate reality. We have learned this. We have been educated in it. We have been trained in it in so many ways. So therefore, in this seminar, I try to say, you have to come from that sacred space in the heart. That's why we did all the meditations which brought us to that space where we could touch the life wire of bhakti, our devotional relationship. Without this entering the sacred space in the heart, or let us just say the heart of bhakti, which is turning in love to Krishna, you know, trying to please him. Without that, we might miss the whole point. Srila Prabhupada has once said, Krishna consciousness is so simple that you might miss it. And there are ample illustrations in the scriptures where priests have done this and where the deity has communicated to them, I'm not satisfied with your mechanic and ritualistic service. So this six lessons were meant to show you how to revive the sleeping or dying heart in bhakti and to arise it again so that it functions. Because only then your process is alive. Otherwise, it is dead and it cannot nourish you over a long period of time. I thank you very much, Venkata Bhatta Prabhu, for asking this question, because it gives me an opportunity to conclude this sessions with the passing remarks of the teacher who has already the door handle in one hand as he exits the classroom, but who turns one more time around to his students and says his final message, which brings everything together. See, what we were discussing was answering a question. How can limited human beings who are in every way conditioned approach the absolute transcendent Lord, encounter him, engage with him, and experience a heightened state of bhakti? How can this be possible to make your bhakti alive? This was my question before I put down the notes and entered this these calls. And the answer to this is, there are five ways in which that absolute, transcendent, supreme Lord is willing to come here into this world so that those who have turned to him can again engage with him and experience his presence in the heart. It is very important, however, this was my whole point, that when you engage like this, you do not engage with these five forms the way you engage with practices, the way you engage with in your business, for instance, with skills that you do, computer skills, banking skills, any type of skill, acting skills. We have one very talented actor who has been with us. No, you don't. You need to come from a different place than only the body and the mind. You need to offer these things in what is called by Rupa Goswami anukulya, a favorable expression, and that comes from the sacred space within the heart. I want to also tell you now something, so that I can shock you a little bit. Let me see how if you can see this. Yeah. It's the learning curve. When you learn something. Now, I must beg your pardon. I have to look at it again. Yes, yes, yes. Now I understand. See, I see it in a reverse way. You see it how it is supposed to look. See here. When you go through the content that you had, almost 20 hours or so afterwards, and give yourself a reminder, the knowledge stays with you. But it needs a second reminder after some time, and a third reminder. If you do not have reminders, what will happen is that your learning will go down and you forget it, forget it, forget it, forget it. If you allow me one time to not control my German nature, I will say something pointedly now. I will push a needle in your sacred behind to activate you. I have very much looked at your questions. I very much considered your questions. I have tried to answer the questions, but I have also noted that the questions were put often from the same mindset which I intended to expand with this presentation. And I'm not yet 100% convinced that you have really understood the difference of this presentation to the many lectures which you have heard before on similar subjects. The difference here is, pointed out by our Venkatabhata, who I hear is blessed with supreme perceptive intelligence, no? Something like that, is, yes, you can go through the motions of devotional service, and yes, 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 you can hear another lecture and then get a little bit more knowledge of the processes, understand them a little bit better, but you can still remain stuck at the old place where you were stuck. However, if you enter a total different dimension, take a total different approach, wow, a whole world of knowledge that was closed up till now to you opens. You're seeing everything on a different level. Let me leave you with a graphical example. I'm not sure if that word graphical is here appropriate. You will soon find out. Do we have a pen here? We have. Most of us, can you see the line here? Is it visible? It is visible. Thank you. Most of us, as we move on through our life, having a, let me call it a horizontal perspective. Okay, this doesn't work so well. I must find something here that works better. Oh, I'm not so happy at this place. Let me move to another place. Oh, I'm not so happy in this relationship. Maybe I should develop a new friendship. Oh, I'm not so happy, not yet successful in devotional service. Let me visit one of these retreats. We are always looking here on the surface, on this line. In this in this session, I want to introduce that line, another line. Can you see this? These go in a vertical direction. They go deep into the direction of what we call the sacred space. In the fourth canto in the Bhagavatam, let's stay with the quotation I gave you. There are many quotations, but I told you that there is a verse, it was there in the very beginning, where we were encouraged to find the Lord within the heart. And this is in all the presentations, we did these meditations, we heard about stories of transformation, we were encouraged to practice something throughout the week, that was there in the bhakti, deepening bhakti, and it all broke the old, was meant to break the old pattern and finally bring you to the place where you deserve to be. You are sincere. Otherwise, you wouldn't look at such a specialized program, which is not a general presentation. You are very sincere. What I sincerely request of you, maybe you want to again go to the first introductory session where I explained this. And maybe you want to view again these sessions which have been prepared over the years. You know, this is not the first time I speak about it. The seminars which I usually give are prepared and researched over years. And they always have a surprise in them, a new discovery, which I do hope will bring you to the deeper experience in bhakti. Remember that challenging question where I said, how long will you be able to go on without experiencing Krishna, feeling Krishna, seeing Krishna? And this is possible. It is told in all our bhakti shastras. Yes, there are various degrees in which we see him. Yes, yes, yes. But in whatever degree it is possible and appropriate maybe for us at this stage. There was a little thorn. It was given with good intention. It was I enjoyed very much our online association. No? Good. So I am done now. I thank you very much. I'm a little over time, but the last session. So let me say thank you to two personalities in the beginning, our Dayal Gauranga and Yashoda Dulal, who conceived this, who catched me all the way from Germany, who brought me every Sunday 3 o'clock to sit down before a computer, which I usually don't do, and I thoroughly could feel with my your presence in the internet space. It was a totally rewarding session. I thank these two who did it to me and to all of us who arranged it. And I thank all of you for your kindness to give me a forum where I could share these very important and very enlivening, for me enlivening, subjects with all of you. I will now stop speaking and I wish you all the best. Kalyan ho. May only the best things happen. May the seeds which you hopefully have received be watered by you. This is now your responsibility. Become a gardener. Pour water, nourish it by spiritual practice, and may you become very happy in your spiritual life due to Krishna's kind mercy on you. Hari Bol.